This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, Tim Cook apologizes for Apple Maps, Freedom Pop goes live, and just for Sam, OpenWebOS 1.0 gets launched. Stay tuned.
Warning, Error Code 8 in progress. Warning, Error Code 8 in progress.
System error.
Error code 8 commencing.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the Techno Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
And what'd you think about that theme music, right?
It is excellent.
Didn't even give anybody any notice. I just, poof, changed it. So
it's a good change.
It was a good change. The old one was kind of, it was humdrum. We composed the old one all in like one day within probably 45 minutes. So I took a little more time on this one. Still not that much time, but a little bit more time. Anyway, we've got a little bit of news to cover. Nothing groundbreaking, but there are a couple things that we thought were humorous, a couple things we thought were interesting, and of course the usual slag thrown in there. On a note, however, I would like to mention to I've been getting emails from a couple people with TV suggestions, because I recently put out a question asking people what TV shows should I watch. For those just unbelievable amount of you who said that I should watch Doctor Who, including one of our own writers, Sean, who writes the top 8 lists now. I started watching Doctor Who, and
Yay! It
is going to engulf my life.
Was it? That is an excellent show.
Oh my gosh. I just started with the 2005 continuance, and I mean, I couldn't stop, man. My eyes were like bloodshot. They were burning. I wanted to go to bed so bad, and I'm like, one more episode. And they do it because at the end they always do, you know, next week, and it's like, oh god, I want to see that.
The show has the best cliffhangers of any show I've ever seen.
It really does. So I'm on the episode where he finds the Dalek. So it's like 4 or 5 episodes in. I can't wait. I'm excited. Although I'm bummed that the guy who plays the Doctor in the first episode doesn't continue on, because I really like that actor. Anyway, back to tech news.
That's one of those things about Doctor Who. You have to be used to the Doctor changing. That's the premise of the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been that way since the very beginning.
Exactly.
Back in the 60s when it started, which I watched Doctor Who, I believe it was probably during the 80s. I can't remember what the Doctor's name was, but it was the guy with the giant fro and the excruciatingly long scarf.
Yes.
That's the Doctor I remember. Because I used to watch, I think it was either PBS or something like that, late at night, would have that and Red Dwarf. And because of that, I watched those two shows before I went to bed at night. So, anyway, back to the tech news. The first thing we want to cover is that Apple has actually acknowledged that their maps are not good. And kudos. I mean, you know, but still, Mon should fix them. Or at least bring Google Maps back, you know?
Right.
I mean, how hard would it actually be to bring Google Maps back, you think?
At this point in time, probably would require a decent amount of work for Apple, because of how they remove things. They probably stripped the OS. I mean, stripped it, because you know how they are about efficiency and about things being very concise. There's not really a lot of dead code, more than likely floating around, from the plugins to support anything. So bringing it back would probably be pretty extreme, in addition to updating it for the new screen resolution and screen size, because they probably never even touched that.
That's true, because they would have been bringing it out, taking it out of iOS 6, knowing that it wasn't going to make it onto the bigger screen size.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was probably a decent amount of work.
Damn it, Apple.
Yep. Now, they did. One of the things I said last week about Google not releasing their Maps version is because people who don't like Google or who don't like Apple Maps, who need Google Maps, need a functioning app, Google or Apple has sidestepped that by announcing or featuring mapping alternatives that they have in their app store. And they even said that you can go to Google Maps via Safari or to Nokia Maps via Safari, which if people on their iPhones find that satisfactory enough, then they won't up and leave. Even if it ends up eating most of your data for the month, it's one of those things that if it's after 30 days, if once you find out that you've used up all your data doing it that way, it's too late to return the phone.
It's true.
So Apple is kind of tricking people more or less into getting locked into those contracts with an inferior product.
Apple.
Yep. But they definitely tricked on that one.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the people I've talked to who had iPhones are definitely looking very kindly on the Galaxy S3 lately. I'm spreading the dogma of the Galaxy S3 everywhere I can.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I just told, even though I don't own the phone, I literally just told my coworker yesterday that as of right now, there is no other phone to get beyond the S3. Nothing comes close. Even the Lumia 920, which I'm holding out for because of the camera, I want to see its capabilities. The fact is that if that phone sucks, or Windows Phone 8 sucks, I'm going to an S3. Hands down. Yeah.
It's an amazing phone. It really is. Although, lately, I've been probably half killing my battery hitting the check for updated firmware button. We're supposed to be getting Jelly Bean like any day now, and it's killing me. Anyway. So, not only did Apple themselves actually acknowledge that their maps were bad, but the story here is that Tim Cook personally apologized for the maps being bad. It's you know, he tells people to be patient, you know, and they are working on it, but to look at third-party alternatives until the maps get to where they need to be. You know, I mean, Apple should have seen this coming because they are putting their maps on a device that used to have maps created by a company who's been in the mapping business for, what, almost 10 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Google, it's not necessarily that Apple just sucks at mapping. It's just that Google is way out of their league. You know, Google has been doing it for so long that they have so much data compared to Apple.
Right.
I mean, they should not have swapped these maps out until their maps were at least, you know, almost on par with Google's.
Right. Well, not only that, but I mean, looking at the, you know, with Windows Phone 8 going to be the next, well, Windows Phone 7 currently being the next largest operating system in regards to currentness and current users and, you know, developing advertising market share, Nokia is also a incredible competitor in regards to mapping. Now, Nokia Maps aren't where Google Maps are, but they still blow Apple Maps out of the water. To release something that makes two competing platforms seem better is a very dangerous move on Apple's part.
Very true. And people are complaining not only of Maps, but also of other little things that have been gone missing from iOS 6 that they were able to do in iOS 5. You know, so, I mean, the iOS 6 in general is just not, it's not sitting well with people. You know, I mean, I know it's not sitting well with me because I'm a jailbreaker and it doesn't have a jailbreak yet. So that's aggravating the crap out of me. There has been rumors of and, you know, proof out there that the iPhone 5 and iOS 6 have been able to be jailbroken, but there is not a consumer-ready tool available yet.
Right. So
hopefully we'll see that in the next month or so because I'm getting itchy. Mm-hmm.
Well, just a few more apologizes, I'm sure, and just keep holding everyone over.
Exactly. And, you know, we actually have a statement here from Tim Cook, specifically to us, telling us what he feels about Apple Maps.
We are deeply sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
I have this video bookmark.
Sorry.
For every time a CEO
BP
apologizes.
Has taken full responsibility.
That is great.
Yep.
We're sorry. I like when he's petting the baby seal.
Yeah. The outrage is about equivalent. In fact, it might be more in this situation.
Oh yeah, you don't mess with hipsters and their iPhones, man.
No. No, more people are getting upset about this than the oil spills, and that is sad.
It's true. It's true. But that's America for you. Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite episodes, by the way, of South Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like the human Sentai pad episode myself.
Yep.
Why won't it read? I never read those, by the way.
I skim them. I
can't.
Well, I skim them because I look for generally selling. I look for the word selling.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I want to know.
The thing is, the way I look at it, and I've always told everyone this, if you are using some sort of technological device or service and you're not paying for it, you're not paying for a product, okay, you are the product.
Right.
That's how it works. If you're not paying for a product, you're the product. You know, Gmail, you're the product. You're looking at ads. Facebook, they're selling your data, and you're looking at ads, so you're the product. I always just kind of assume, you know, I assume all my data is pretty much being sold to the highest bidder. And while it's not the greatest thing in the world, I'd rather get something for free, you know, for the most part. Now, rights are a different thing. Like, I won't put any of my photography shots on Facebook because of all of their, you know, usage stuff. So, you know, rights are one thing. My data, go ahead. It's out there already anyway.
Mine is, if they want it from me, they can pay me for it. If they want me to use their free service, they can pay me for it.
Wow, nice.
That's, if you look at my pages, there's very little personal information filled out on any of them. And the information that's there is only vaguely accurate. I am, in fact, Sam Briggs. That is not what is written on my Social Security card.
Nice.
That's the way I look at it. They're not getting accurate. They're getting vague, nearly accurate information.
Yeah.
If they want accurate...
Go ahead. Awesome lag. I love it. Anyway, for me, I tend to be the kind of person that pretty much everything... I am is on the internet, so if you wanted to stalk me, it probably wouldn't be that hard. Not that hard at all.
Yeah, that's what I've tried to avoid, is having, I don't know, it's one of those things that if companies really want my information just to randomly sell it out, I at least should have the right to know who you're selling it to.
No, Sam, you don't have any rights.
I know. Very naive person.
All right, next on our list, Samsung wants to take a bite out of Apple. And yes, I know that's horribly, horribly cliche, but I had to say it because, come on, it's there, man. Apple's logo's even got a bite out of it. I'm just saying.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, you can't not take it.
That was Microsoft's.
Well, that's true.
That was Microsoft's bite.
Yeah, they're going to take it out of the other side. It's just going to be a core. it'd be great. Anyway, so Apple sued Samsung for the tune of, I think, $1.05 billion. So, you know, I think the .05 in there was ridiculous. They didn't need a decimal point, but okay, let's just throw one in there. However, because of that, and not necessarily because of that, Apple basically sued them for... let's see, we had several different features with the actual OS itself, but the big one was, what was that? Rectangle with rounded freaking corners, I think, is what that one? Yeah. Rectangle with rounded corners. However, because of this, Samsung has decided, and like I said, it's not necessarily because of this, but you got to admit, it's kind of coincidental, you know, oh, you sued us, haha, you win, okay, yeah, great, how about this? Womp womp. Now, Samsung has turned and bit Apple by wanting to sue them for the iPhone 5. There are several patents. They're saying basically two patents are part of what they call cell phone standards, and six patents are feature patents, which are things like how the display changes when music's being played, things like that. I've got the PDF of the actual filing here. By the way, never look up a PDF of an actual technology lawsuit filing. I might puke blood before I get down to the end of this. I mean,
I can only assume it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not even going to try to open it.
Patents and Apple has been awarded are the utility patents listed below. Okay, blah 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 blah. Nah, blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh, how many pages is this? This is ridiculous. Alright, I give up. I'm not going to go through that.
Yep.
I'm sorry. If you really want to look for it, it is there. You know, it's out in the open. You can just go look for the actual patents themselves. One of the big patents that they're that really triggered this was the patent on the way the iPhone handles LTE data, which I can only assume is probably one of the two that they're saying is part of the cell phone standards. I think the way that a phone handles LTE data would probably be one of the standards. So, you know, it's a little bit of a sticky wicket, to say the least. You know, it would be nice to see Samsung come out of this smelling like roses, you know, and actually win one against Apple. So, it's...
Yeah, it's an uphill battle for them. To a good degree, but it would be nice if it at least mitigates most of the loss, since it really seems Samsung is doing a lot in lately, especially in regards to innovation. So them having as much money as possible to continue to do that would be nice, so long as they keep doing that. Otherwise, that $2 billion is just a waste.
Well, of course.
For both companies, because obviously Apple's not really investing or innovating.
No, they're too busy litigating against everyone.
Exactly.
Damn it, Silicon Valley. By the way, that's two drinks. I found out the word damn it is actually on the drink.
Nice. Game.
Sphincter.
What for us?
Woo! That was a shot right in the intro, because I actually said that in the intro, too.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we got them started early. How many people can we have pass out before the end of the episode? I'm excited.
Yes.
All right. So, Samsung is in the news twice today. It's kind of nice. This is a blurb. This is not, like, news. However, for people like you, Sam, who are waiting to see all these new features on new phones coming out and are kind of looking at, you know, you aren't looking at the iPhone because you don't really like the iPhone. Don't blame you.
Yeah, I was looking for a little while, but then it just got to the point where once the S3 launched, that went right down the drain.
Exactly. So for people who are looking at all these different phones, know this. Apple does not change their prices. They have, unless it's right before a launch or right during or right after a launch when they take the whole line of phones down a notch, they don't really change their prices. However, Android phones tend to change prices every once in a while, and especially on Black Friday. There are, you know, entire companies that do Black Friday sales on Android phones because they have that wiggle room. The Galaxy S3, if you buy it actually through Sprint on Black Friday this year, that's November 23rd. Wait a minute. Black Friday's not November 23rd, is it? Or is it?
Yeah. Because
Thanksgiving's 22nd, yeah.
It changes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the third Thursday.
That's right. I always forget which holidays are actually on a day and which ones change.
Yeah, that's the only one I remember. Having worked retail for 4 years, it was a very, very dreaded day.
That's a very good point. It's black for a reason. Anyway, so on Black Friday, November 23rd, 2012, this year, you can get the Samsung Galaxy S3 from Sprint for $50. $50 freaking for this phone.
Yeah, that's a really good price.
That is unbelievable. I mean, even with a subsidy on a new two-year contract, you're not paying, at the end of the 2 years, you're not paying anywhere near what this phone is retail.
No.
So, yeah, if you don't have an S3 or you're looking for a phone sometime around Black Friday, head to Sprint. If you want the S3, this is the deal to get. And it might be on their website, too. Who knows? They haven't given any actual, like, you know, diehard things. But, yeah, check it out. $50 for the S3. I mean, that's insane, man.
It actually makes sense. I have a little scheme.
You a scheme? No.
Yes. It technically, because I'm not allowed to upgrade my employee plan.
Okay.
But if I at $50 with Sprint's cancellation fee and the first month bill, it's still technically cheaper than the outright price of the phone.
That's actually a really good point.
It is.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a terrible person.
Gaming. Scotsman.
Yeah, I know. I was looking. I was like doing it in my head real quick, and it is actually cheaper than the outright price of the phone to do that. I mean, the first bill with the activation fee, you're $36 for the activation fee. So there's $90 first bill. You get it on the you know, one basic plan. So you're looking at about $100 right there after taxes. So there's $200 roughly, and then $350 cancellation fee is $550.
Sam.
Sure, you're only saving like 50 or, hey, you know, $100 or whatever, but you
money's
know.
Money's money.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, before we go on, I'd like to mention a little bit about our sponsor, Audible.com. It's a great place to go for all your audiobook needs. It's pretty much the web's premier audiobook source. If they don't have it, it's probably not on audiobook format. They even have their own studios where they bring books that have never seen the light of audio recording into the world of recording. And, you know, they get the greatest voice actors to do it. It's fantastic. Over 100,000 books to choose from. They have sales all the time. Right now, they have a sale of the 40-plus most popular vampire books for $7 a piece if you're a member. And that's the first week of their Shocktober sale. It's pretty good deal. You can get lots of books during these special sales like this. If you'd like to try Audible, we have a special deal going on as well where you can go to audibletrial.com/8DAG. That's 8DAG. And you can try out Audible for one whole month, 30 whole days, completely free with no obligation to keep it if you decide you don't want it, which I don't really think you will decide you don't want it because you'll get hooked pretty fast. With the 30-day free trial, you get all the benefits of a full-on Audible member, meaning you get your 25% discount on any a la carte books you want to buy, any books you buy without a credit, basically. I mean, that's pretty good considering it can take like a $36 book down to $25. It's a pretty good chunk of change. What we also will be giving you is one credit, one free credit with your 30-day free trial. With that credit, you can go out and buy any book on Audible that is one credit in price. Now, Audible books, like I said, will have a regular price and they'll have a number of credits. With the Gold membership, which is what you were actually signing up for, you get one credit per month. That's one audiobook per month, unless it's some, you know, spectacularly huge audiobook like Game of Thrones or something along those lines. Those are a little bit more, but they're also very large books. So basically what we're giving you is 30 days of a 25% discount and a free audiobook for life If you decide you don't want to keep Audible, you cancel your subscription, no harm to us, and you keep the audiobook on us as our gift to you for trying it out. So if nothing else, go there, sign up, and get a free audiobook. See how you like it. There's no, you know, there's no downside, really. Now, we like to suggest an audiobook so that you can get an idea of, you know, some great places to go and, it's, you know, what kind of books you're into. I try to spread this over a gamut of different books. Today, I've been reading, the last book I think we suggested was the biography of Einstein. And because it's Einstein, they talk about relativity in there. And because of that, my old interest in physics has re-arisen, and I'm sucking up all these physics books as fast as I can. One of the books that I've recently started trying to read alongside of the Einstein biography is called Physics of the Impossible, A Scientific Exploration. It's written by Michio Kaku. For those of you who don't necessarily recognize the name, if you have ever watched anything on the Science Channel or Discovery Channel talking about space, time, black holes, or any kind of physics, anything, Michio Kaku is the Asian-looking older gentleman with the long white hair. Do you recognize who I'm talking about, Sam?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So he is pretty much physics rock star. You know, he is the rock star of physics. So in the Physics of the Impossible book, he actually talks about the physics behind what it would take to make a time machine and what it would take to make, you know, shields and antimatter engines and nanorockets and all this stuff that, you know, we see in science fiction. And as a matter of fact, on the front of the book that I'm looking at here, it has a picture of two wormholes side by side and what looks like a version of the TARDIS from Doctor Who going through both of them. So that's kind of cool. I like that. This is also WhisperSync voice ready, so you can use the new WhisperSync feature on Audible where you get a Kindle book, you buy the audiobook, and they sync up where you are in both copies. So you listen to a book, you go, you pick up reading exactly where you left off listening. You get done reading, you go listen, you pick up exactly where you left off reading. It's a great feature if you have a Kindle or if you use any of the Kindle apps. So good stuff. And they actually have a deal here where if you were to buy the book, it's $25 if you're a member. However, if you buy the Kindle book and then buy the audiobook, and this happens every once in a while, they will reduce the price to $10. So, I mean, that's pretty good. They're cutting prices left and right and giving you free stuff all over the place. So Physics of the Impossible, A Scientific Exploration is one credit. You can use your credit on that or you can use it on anything. Just go check out Audible at audibletrial.com/8DAG. Sign up for a free month and get a free book. Why not? All right, back to the news. This one is actually your story, Sam. So I'm going to let you, this is your baby. I'm going to let you have your baby.
That sounded odd.
Yeah, well, enjoy having your baby.
All right, well, as most of you know, I am the WebOS man for the website.
Drink.
And after months of waiting, finally, OpenWebOS has launched. Yay. Now, this is the full with the UI. Last month, the beta launched, and it didn't have the GUI for Open Embedded, which is to be used on tablets and smartphones. Now it has it. It lacks an app store. It's not currently installable on anything that you could go out and install unless you happen to be a major tech geek and really know what you're doing. But the potential is now there. They've released, HP's released an official video of it launching and running on an HP all-in-one Touch Smart, the touchscreen all-in-one desktops that they carry. And private people have managed to get it running up on a Galaxy Nexus, Transformer Prime. So it is definitely being exactly what its name is, open source and installable effectively where you want. Where will it go from here? We'll have to wait and see. It's got a development environment, Inyo, so apps can be made for it and seeded out, installed. It just doesn't have any real momentum, I'll be completely honest, in regards to becoming anything. This is not, I seriously doubt you'll ever see a device sold running OpenWebOS, but for those of you who like tinkering with Ubuntu or Debian and who have dealt with cooking your own Android ROMs, this is definitely something to look into as a fun alternative that will scale from your smartphone to your desktop and work perfectly.
It's still WebOS.
It is still the... I mean, have you seen the video of it running on the Touch Smart?
Yeah, it does actually look pretty cool. I've got to admit, it would be... I mean, bringing it to such a large screen, I think, makes it better.
It really does. And it's something that is stock. That isn't all the enhancements that the WebOS internals and the WebOS community have made to it. That is stock. I've talked about before about WebOS CE, the Community Edition, the changes that have been made to it that just make the multitasking and the cards, the windows, so much more maneuverable and such a much more friendly work environment. Once that is built in stock, I promise you, it is the go-to desktop environment for the future for touchscreen-enabled devices that are that size.
Welcome, people, and gaze upon the desktop of the future.
I'm really gunning for it because it is a stunning video. I mean, I've always kind of liked the all-in-one computers because I like touchscreens, but I've despised Windows in regards to touch. And Windows 8 isn't really looking to fix that, just make it more complicated. More feasible, but nowhere near. Ubuntu has never been able to adapt to a touchscreen interface. Debian, there's not been an open source operating system meant for a 15-inch plus screen. Even Android has issues scaling to that size.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. There aren't, I mean, as far as open source goes, it's kind of limited. Just in general, really, you know, I mean, and the worst part of it is that it's limited in such a way that, you know, like, for instance, I don't like the new Ubuntu One desktop or whatever. I hate it. Oh, I hate it. It actually made me stop using Ubuntu for almost everything. Right. I used to keep like a virtual machine running on one window and Windows on the other because I have two monitors and, you know, I split it, but not anymore because I just can't stand that interface.
Yeah, that's why I've switched to Debian, but I predominantly have Backtrack. So
that's a good one. I like Backtrack.
Yes. Very fun.
Well,
but,
you know, crack all my neighbor's Wi-Fi with it.
Right. Well, it is something also, even in regards to Android, it is now getting to the point where you don't have to rely on physical buttons, but with WebOS, you've never needed to rely on physical buttons. So, and Android doesn't work with Windows. with Windows, that environment that people for the last 20 years have come to be used to, Windows has Windows. That's why it's called that. Mac OS has Windows. Ubuntu, Windows. Debian, Windows. Backtrack, Windows. Everything operates in a window when it's on a computer. WebOS is the only operating system that does that. Android may have its multitasking cards now, but in and of itself, it's one app, one at a time.
Yeah. Full screen applications all the time.
WebOS, on a screen that size, the community has to where you can split screen. Two apps at once, one on each side. You would be able to share across monitors once the driver support for that is written.
I do know one of the new Galaxy Tabs can do split screen.
Yes.
But that's a Samsung feature only.
Exactly. And that is something that, I mean, as a desktop operating system, I really think that's where WebOS is going to shine because it works with a mouse and keyboard also, relatively intuitively. So, in fact, that's one of the updates, enhancements to the Community Edition, is there's now on the screen a little touchpad area that controls a mouse. So you move your finger on this little touchpad on the screen when you have the keyboard up, and a mouse moves across the screen. Or the mouse icon.
Yeah.
it's a nifty little feature, and it works great. So, a lot of potential here. Will it ever become a smartphone OS again? I doubt it. That has to have carrier approval, yeah, this and that. You have to have the drivers for the hardware for the cellular radios. I seriously, WebOS as a cell phone operating system is more than likely done, close to done. But I really see it taking off in the touchscreen market of tablets, laptops, you know, netbooks, everything like that. All of them are coming with touchscreens nowadays. I really see it taking off there.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, people, it seems like no matter how many times companies say you don't want touchscreens on a big screen like that, people continuously say, oh, but we do. When Steve Jobs said he'd never put a touchscreen on the Mac on the MacBook Pros because no one wants to use a computer using a touchscreen, I actually agreed with him, because if you ever just try to use your, just try touching your monitor for like 10, 15, 20 seconds, and if you have your hand up next to your monitor for that long, your freaking arm gets tired, man. Mm-hmm. I can understand it if you set the monitor like into a desk or something.
Right.
But for normal monitors, it's not useful. So I see why people want to do this, but on large devices like this, you know, I just don't know until these become, right now these are still computers that we're talking about. When they make the transition from computer to appliance, like putting this on your fridge would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, building this into a cabinet to just, or, you know, fold down would be amazing.
A toaster.
A WebOS toaster. Wow. Make a little WebOS. You have bagels with WebOS written across them.
There actually is a WebOS toaster.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know, because HP said something about putting WebOS on a toaster, then they never did it. And then somebody out there actually did it, and they have a linked together series of toasters that you can control via an app on WebOS.
Really? I mean,
really?
Is it necessary, people?
100%.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
We're getting a lot of those little clips in today.
I'm sorry. That's one of my favorites. Oh. I don't. When we have smart toaster, when the toaster can kill us, I'm done. I'm through. You know? I mean, the machines take over the world, I am not going to die with the toaster.
Well, think about it like this. When your toaster can run more apps and do more than your iPhone,
I bet it has a better version of Maps. The toaster can get me where I'm going better than my iPhone can.
Oh, our version, we have Bing and Google Maps.
Oh, see?
Yep.
Come on, Apple.
Oh, yeah. Our WebOS toaster.
I'm not getting the new iPhone. I'm getting the new Cuisinart.
Oh. Yeah, so I will keep everyone updated on this. It is definitely something that, and in regards to using a touchscreen desktop that is that large, the key thing is that you don't have to, but it's a nice option to have. Again, think about some of the games you play that, especially because the all-in-one monitor slide, they're on that swivel, or the sliding swivel. So, the games that are dedicated, you know, like Angry Birds, play that with a mouse. It's not that much fun. It's in the Chrome store for the Chrome browser.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that
it's
fun.
It's also in the Apple App Store. It's,
yeah. But think about it, you know, on a screen 21 inches that's a touch screen, and watching the pigs fly, you know, or the birds fly into the pigs on a 21-inch screen that you're using with your hands, there's a lot of potential there. And gaming has often carried PC innovations. So in regards to touchscreen gaming on the desktop, WebOS has the ability to lead the way.
Well, I can't wait to see what else they can come up with. Since this is just a beginning version, it will be interesting to see what more the community comes up with and adds on to all this stuff.
Considering it took 6 hours to get it running on the Galaxy Nexus, I can only imagine the amazing things that can be done.
Very true. All right. We mentioned in a previous episode a while back, there was a new little startup called Freedom Pop. Their little shtick was that they were going to put out devices that would allow you to access... in the beginning, they kind of wouldn't nail down what network they were going to let you to access. It was going to be 4G data is the only thing they would say. Basically, it's Clearwire's WiMAX network is what they're accessing. It's 4G. When Sprint starts rolling out their LTE spectrum in 2013, Freedom Pop is going to actually switch over to that instead. What they do is they put out these devices, and you pay for the device. Or, in the case of some of these, you pay them a refundable deposit on the device. And what happens is you get 500 megabytes of free data per month. Now, 500 megs, if you don't use it a lot, is actually quite a sizable chunk of data. For every gigabyte, you go over that. So once you hit 501, they're going to charge you for another gig. That one gig is going to cost you $10. So that's on par with pretty much every tiered data plan right now. Now, using the 4G, you're going to burn through it relatively quick if you're streaming movies or things like that. But without a contract and only paying per gigabyte, this comes out to be pretty darn good. They have four different devices right now. They have a USB stick. They have an access point, which Freedom Pop, if you are listening, please, I would love to have one of these. they also have an iPod skin for the iPod 4th generation. It's not out for the 5th yet. They have the 4th generation iPod skin and a case for the iPhone 4, 4S. The case actually does several different jobs. It's the access point for the 4G network, and it's also a charging case for the iPhone. So that's kind of cool. It's a little bulky, but kind of cool all the same. Now, like I said, you get your 500 megabyte per month free allotment. You get $10 for every gigabyte on top of that. But also, if you refer a friend, for instance, they give you a little bit more. You get 10 megabytes for every month that person stays on. So that's kind of cool. Especially if the all you got to do is put down a deposit and you get free data. So, I mean, not a lot of people are going to turn this down. That's the big thing. Then you've got, for instance, if you sign up for a trial from Netflix through them, you get 1.2 gigabytes added to your available balance. Just little things you can do to get more data for free. It's a fantastic idea. And if they put it on a network that expands out a little farther than Clearwire's WiMAX, I think they've got a darn good thing going.
Well, and it's actually something that if Clearwire decides to keep running that WiMAX network and anything with it, or either because this takes off or because prepaid carriers are really using it, once Sprint steps off of WiMAX, that will alleviate so much network traffic. Not that I expect there are that many people using WiMAX devices really still, since I think the Evo is the only one that truly sold in massive numbers. But and it's running the 2-year course already, so the WiMAX is looking to be a, if they keep that up and going, a good backdrop for prepaid and things like this, it'll be a good service.
True. It's, like I said, their coverage area is not
the most impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's WiMAX, it's a WiMAX coverage area. So you're going to get it in, big cities. For instance, the nearest to us is the entire St. Louis metro area. It gets pretty it goes pretty far down south, a little bit to, over to the west. It stretches out in all directions. Kansas City, big city areas. So, it's not the greatest, but come on. I mean, you put in, I think the access point is $89 a deposit refundable. I mean, you can't buy an access point for $89. And then you get 500 megs of free data every month. If you are anywhere near a 4G area, you should be looking very heavily at Freedom Pop. I really, truly see them becoming quite the little company. So, okay, next on our list. This one's you too. It's actually the last story. I'm going to let you talk about it because I don't know.
I'll be honest. I don't quite know either, but I like the direction they're going with it. So, all right. For those of you who have seen the movie Alien and remember the giant yellow walker that was in the movie that she used to fight the alien in, we're roughly 7 or 8% of the way there, thanks to Koba Lab at the Tokyo University of Science. They've developed a pneumatic robot suit, just arms as of this point in time, to aid in lifting. It's cumbersome looking. At the same time, helps you lift two additional bags of rice. Bags of rice.
Leave it to the Asians to come up with some other way to make us work harder.
Exactly. It leaves your hands, they're contained, but they're not, there's no enhancement to your hands. It's just your forearms. And specifically the technology, it's pneumatic artificial muscles, known as McKibben artificial muscles, McKibben, for those of you who want to look that up, that technology up independently. But I can definitely see it's very lightweight, 9 kilograms. So not something that would be too awkward to really wear around, even though it does look really, really awkward. I would not really be able to see anyone walking down the street in this. But in shops where lifting, all you do is lift and move for shop workers, it would be a great relief and really help prevent exhaustion. At the same time, if you fell over in it, I wonder how long it would take you to get back up.
Turtle on its back style.
Exactly. I don't see. It looks like the arms are contained to a relative degree. So that would be really hilarious to see. But it's an awesome new technology in regards to, you know, robots. Humans in the robots are better than just robots. Robots can kill us. Humans running the machine, less likely. Still can kill you, but there's not going to be a hive mind, over mind control sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I'm sure they thought that when the Daleks came into existence.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, we could be breeding Daleks right now. I'm going to have a lot of Doctor Who stuff for the next couple episodes. I'm sure.
Actually wonder, because it's pretty common for, you know, science fiction to predict the future in regards to technology.
This is what
I don't think I've ever seen anything in Doctor Who whatsoever that seemed even remotely feasible. They're so out there with everything.
Well, what are you going to do?
Right. Well, that's why I like the show. I mean, it's not just your run. At this point in time, the Star Wars, Star Trek, all those shows, it's been done. I mean, done and done and done and done over and over and over again. You know, that light humor and just pure scientific fantasy, that's what's great about Doctor Who. Back on it. We rounded it out. End where we begin.
Well, you know, and I keep looking at this picture of the Asian guy on this story.
He doesn't look happy.
Well, I keep wanting to put "like a boss" right next to his head.
Exactly.
Because that's what his face reminds me of. Like a boss. Anyway, so that's our last story for today. And I'm sure you guys want to hear that awesome 8 Days of Geek created Error Code 8 theme song on the way out. So, Sam, would you tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
About.me/Samuel Briggs.
Wow, so easy.
Yep. And there's actually going to be a few things added to it in the future.
No. But
I know. I'm actually expanding out in the social networking world on accident.
It's amazing.
Yes. I still I don't know. People communicate with me. You have to start the conversation. I'm like that awkward guy who you say hello to, and then he says hello back, and there's just that awkward silence. So you have to talk, generally about WebOS. And if not about WebOS, dinosaurs. Yeah, then you've got it covered.
Gotcha. All right, for me, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Pen of Doom. My email address is jesse@8dsgeek.com. If you want to find out anything else, anything more about me, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find out everything about me. All right, if you'd like to call us or leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, the number is 754-273-6397. And if your best friend just fell down and can't get up because of his robotic arm suit, listen again. The number is 754-273-6397. All right, guys, join us next week for another fun-filled, action-packed episode of Error Code 8, Sphincter. And make sure to have your drinking glasses ready because, you know, we like to throw them in there, WebOS. And we like to keep you going, damn it. So, Sam? Say goodnight to the sphincters.
Good night, sphincters. WebOS. I said that so many times this episode.
They passed out already. Oh, yeah. They're not even.
Please,
they're not playing anymore.
Let us know how much you drank this episode. If somebody can give us a count,
yeah,
they're that not would even, be awesome.
They're not even playing anymore. They're probably under, like, passed out on the floor.
Oh yeah.
Warning: Error code 8 in progress. Warning. Error code 8 in progress.
System error.
Danger.
System error.
Error code 8 commencing.